So we're actually, as you know, working here in the area down out of North Creek Baptist Church with Campus Bible Fellowship. We've been working with young people on the campus of the University of Washington Bothell on Cascadia College, which is, they share the same campus. So, actually, you know, God has given me the opportunity to work with several young men, either doing monthly or weekly Bible studies. Two of them have already graduated, and we continue studies even though they've graduated. We've mentioned in our prayer letters a Chinese student named Luke, if you run into him at our church. We've had extensive Bible studies for a couple of years now, ever since we met. Keep praying for him. He asks amazing questions. We're working through a book called The Story of Hope, which is kind of a creation to the cross kind of Bible study. Coming from an atheistic background to where he is interested in studying the Bible is a huge movement of the soul, right? And actually, he understands everything he needs to know at this point. If you asked him, how does salvation work according to the Bible, I really think he could tell you. He's working through more the cost aspect for him personally. Becoming a Christian, as you know, he's the only child of his household. You know, he's born in the one child deal there in China. So his parents have huge aspirations for him. And so he realizes that, you know, if I put my trust in the Lord, I don't know what God will call me to do. And I don't know how that will, what kind of family conflict that will create. Which is something that Jesus has been dealing with since the very beginning, right? But pray for him. He really is sensitive. Like I said, he asks amazing questions when we're together.
New Year's Day is one of those days, you know, after you've been up till midnight, you usually want to do what? Right? Sleep in?
Well, just relax on New Year's Day.
Sometimes God rearranges things, and he came over on New Year's Day, but he said, I want to interview you guys for my YouTube channel. I interview my friends. So he gave us questions ahead of time. Let me just read a few of them for you. Topic number one, what does your life journey look like? What early experiences most shape how you see the world today? What were the major turning points when one decision changed that trajectory? And what does a good life mean to you now compared to when you were 20? And then he says, that was the first topic.
There were eight topics.
The second topic. How do you understand Christianity? What was your personal path to faith? Was it gradual, sudden, inherited, resisted? Which teaching of Jesus do you find hardest to live out, and why? What do you think Christians commonly get wrong about Christianity? That's number two. And the questions go on. So it wasn't just this, it was just an open door to talk to him, and so we went through his eight questions. Nathan and I did a lot of prep work on New Year's Day after we got these questions to look at. But you can pray for him because he's still editing those videos. So he's got a lot of responses. The gospel was given several times over, and we stress it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're praying for him, and each interview was 3 hours for Nathan and 3 hours for me. So the poor guy was kind of tired, too, by the end. But he's editing all those videos now, too. So you can pray for him. And recently he's got a new job, but he's going to have to move to California. So we're looking for a church that can follow up. But he himself has initiated that he would like to continue Bible studies maybe through Zoom. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, most of my interview is already out there. If you want to look at it on YouTube, I'm not sure what you would. You can write to me and I can send you the link if you want to go look at those. They're subtitled too in case you can't understand his English or mine for that matter. He likes to subtitle everything. So do be praying for him. It's been a unique experience for us. I've never worked with somebody who started out in atheism. In Brazil, we usually deal with people who are religious. They believe that there is something out there, right? There's a God, there's a spirit, there's whatever. So to work with somebody who come from that kind of background has been a tremendous privilege. And we believe that God has people in California, right? God's not limited to us. God knows what he's doing. I'm praying that he'll run into some Chinese Christians. I think there are things that he could understand in his heart language if he could speak with Chinese people that know the Lord. So just keep him in your prayers, especially over the next few weeks as he moves to California. Pedro is a guy. He's graduated too. Actually, he's at SPU now, working on a master's degree, but we study every Wednesday night. He's kind of our crossover into the Brazilian ministry. He's one of the Brazilians that also come to the Brazilian ministry at North Creek Baptist. And it's been a real, it's been fun to work with him too. He grew up in a cult, and so just about everything we study, even though he's heard about it before in the cult, it was most of it just totally twisted. So everything's new to him as well. And he took a big step forward in our last, a couple services ago. We have a monthly service in Portuguese at North Creek, reaching out to the Brazilian community. And he volunteered to pray, which is a big deal.
It was his first
time. Yeah, it was his first public prayer. He hadn't prayed in public before. And for him to volunteer to do that seems like a small thing for us. It's a really big deal for somebody like Pedro, and it's fun to watch him grow. Pray for us as we try and combine schedules. He works full-time and is trying to finish up his master's degree this year. So just trying to find time to study. Usually we do it Wednesday nights after prayer meeting, as long as he's awake. You know, poor guy's exhausted. Currently, I'm also working with a freshman at Cascadia. He's from a family that was at North Creek and moved to another church in the area. But it's interesting keeping track with him as he goes to classes and as I learn from the inside out what kind of what's a nice word? Rubbish. So here's a freshman. You know, he's fresh out of high school. The very first email he gets, and I'll mention this in my update. The very first email that he gets from Cascadia College says this in big letters: "Forget everything your parents told you." That's how they start out. Okay. So your young people need to be accompanied, right? They need to be strong in their faith. They need to be checked up on. And it went on from there. So it's been a privilege to. I'm not doing a Bible study with him yet, but we meet pretty much biweekly when he's in classes and just kind of go over what he's hearing, scriptural responses to what he's hearing in class and so on, just to make sure he stays on track. Then I have a great opportunity to study with not a college student yet. He's a junior in high school, but will be going to college in not too long. Another young man at church. So it's just a pleasure right now to have these four guys really to invest in, either weekly or monthly, depending on how their schedules are working out. So keep praying. Ben, who's the guy on campus, we're hoping he'll generate friendships that we can have contact with as well. So be praying for his circle of friends. You know, as he goes to classes, we hope to be able to work with him and also reach out to those classmates that he'll be generating friendships with. So we have the CBF end of things, and we also have the Brazilian end of things, which we weren't counting on, like we've told you before, but still an amazing opportunity at our church to reach out into the Brazilian community, which is a lot larger than we thought. We still have on our monthly Portuguese services, usually between 20 and 30 Brazilians there. Every time there are unsaved people. And so it's a tremendous opportunity for us to preach the gospel in their mother tongue to them. We have had through this last year, we completed a study on salvation on Friday nights, every other Friday night. We had a core group that came through that. Kind of varied, but towards the end, we had three really faithful students that finished out with us. So continue to pray for that. We're praying for the Lord's leading, what study, how to study, what God's leading is in trying to work with the Brazilians the Lord has sent our way as well. So that's kind of our North Creek end of things right now. I don't know if you have any questions that you'd like to ask. On campus? When we left, Catholicism was really struggling to figure out how to re-image itself. You know, the core never changes, right? No matter what they say, the core never changes. But, you know, when we left in our neighborhood, they were using some of our songs, and they had started men and women's Bible studies, and we were like, what? What's this? You know, they're trying to make themselves look more Protestant to try and get the main population in. So the trend in Brazil has been for the Catholic Church to shrink, and the Protestant Church is growing. Now, unfortunately, when I say Protestant, that includes the fastest growing sector is the health and wealth people, and a lot of people in that movement are not saved. So they're just as bad off as if they were in the Catholic Church. But in terms of, if you're just talking about whether the Catholic Church is growing or shrinking, yeah, it's been shrinking.
So then are the Brazilian people that you're serving here more of no background in faith or from the Catholicism that was really
predominant? What's the impact on
people? I think there's only one that comes from a Catholic background. Some come from Baptist churches in Brazil. Some come from the cult.
So that's
a different baggage, but I would say it's baggage that they come with.
Yeah, the vast number of the people that we've been working with come from a cult called Congregação Cristã do Brasil. They have a new church location here in Monroe with about 200 people in it. Yeah, the more that we study with them, the more twisted we find out the teaching was. Mm-hmm. So,
the
like
definition of justification.
Yeah, so like even going through salvation, the words that define salvation, like justification, redemption, and so on. Well, they've heard all these words, but they've heard twisted versions of these words, right? So, for justification, for us is God declaring us righteous based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. For them, when they hear the word justification, it's if the person who's up front, like they don't have pastors, they call them cooperators, but they're like the mouths of God when they stand up. And so if they say something from the pulpit, that's God speaking. And if you oppose them, and then God, let's say, you know, the guy up in the pulpit says something and you disagree, and then tomorrow you're run over by a car, that's justification. He was justified. That's what they think of as justification in their minds. And so, you know, as we talk, we have to kind of stop at every little point and ask them, now when I say this, what are you thinking? Because we just assume stuff. And we're finding out that, you know, I'm talking over here and they're thinking over here. So it's very slow work with them, because the Word of God just has to purify a lot of junk out of their minds and help them understand what Scripture is really saying. So like Don said, we only have one that we've run into so far from a Catholic background here. The rest are either from Baptist churches in Brazil or a big bunch of people from this local cult. Yeah. No. Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And they're told not to read the Bible because only the prophet or the person up front. There's a lot of baggage, but so for us to tell them all the time, read your Bible, that's new to them. So it's the Word of God washing them and just being patient. And you can pray, because sometimes we get impatient.
Yeah. Sean, did you have a question? Well, like on the Cascadia side, they all have clubs, right? We'd like to have an official club. We don't have enough people yet for that. But they have a Jesus club, or they did. I'm not sure if he's there this year, if that's there this year. But they also had a Satan club on campus, and that's what it's called, the Satan club. I ran into, at the beginning of this year when I was on campus, I ran into a new group called, it was Good News. Good News was part of their name, and talking with their leader and then going online. They're a Northwest group that preaches the gospel on campus. It's the first time they've been on this campus. And so another sharp group of people I really appreciated. I haven't run into them again when I've been on campus, but the first day they were there with their table set up. So there's a couple of good groups on campus that are preaching the gospel. They have, you know, LGBTQ groups, official groups. So, I mean, you've got just about everything has an official club there. And then just the general, the Muslims do too, this Islamic group. And then just the general environment in which the students are is very, you know, when you talk with them about what they're learning in class, you know, like this one kid's class was an English class, and they were learning about Taoism and the Gaza conflict, and of course Israel was the bad guy, and I'm like, what does that have to do with grammar and sentence structure? So that's the kind of thing they're putting up with. You know, you go to class for one thing, and sometimes you're not even getting that one thing. You're getting a lot of the professor's opinion, and usually from a very leftist, very atheistic worldview. So that's just kind of the environment in which they have to survive. Yes? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there are, like here, different branches of Baptist churches, different kind of family groups. But there's large numbers of really solid Baptist churches in Brazil. And so, in fact, one of the young ladies in our church from them is very solid, sharp, super encouraging to be around. You know, it's nice to have her in the group because she knows her Bible very, very well. So, yeah, there's more than just Baptist churches. There's Bible churches and other things in Brazil that are very solid in their biblical teaching. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging. All right. Well, now we'll actually go to Brazil here a little bit, take you to the church that we were at. Helped start. This is Pastor Mateus and his wife Sueni and their little boy Asaph or Azafi this Christmas time. And they have been a church on the go because they started construction,
2 years ago.
2 years ago. And the guy laid the foundations from the church and then stole all the money and walked away. For a while they were in, you know, they were trying to sue him, but eventually decided, you know, that's in the Brazilian justice system takes forever.
And you couldn't build if you were in the process of, against someone. So the land just stood there empty and whatnot. And they didn't have money anyway.
Right. So they went, they started a campaign in Brazil to raise the money again. And during this time they've been on the move. Every Sunday in somebody else's house, And so, you know, think of the work of coordinating chairs, sound equipment, projector, not just coming to here and setting it up, but carting it
everywhere
to every Sunday, different location. And they've been doing that for about a year and a half now. So we're very encouraged, though. They have lost. The only people they've lost are people that God has taken home to heaven. And all that moving around, the core group has stuck with them. And they've added some new people along the way. And we've seen guys like Mateos, who was a kid when we were there. Now he's in his 20s, and he's helping teach the kids that are growing up in the church. And hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, they'll see their own building. It's under construction now, and it looks something like that when it's done. God gave them a Christian engineer on the far right, and even the foreman is a Christian. So Mateos loves to go down to see what's going on because he talks with brothers in Christ as well. They've been seeing this, just tremendous work. You know, once you have the right people in there and they have a mind to work, this is when they had all the junk cleared off. And then they started building. And now this picture here was just a couple days ago. They have pretty much all the walls up and they're getting ready to put the roof on.
And they have enough money to do the basics so that they would have a place to meet. It won't have electricity. It won't have plumbing yet. They'll have to have money for that later on. But they're so excited just to have, we'll figure it out. We'll have a place, a roof over our heads that we can meet and worship God together and grow together.
Yeah, so they'll probably have another, you know, campaign to raise money for, like, electricity, plumbing, all that kind of stuff. But like you said, if we have to, we'll just run a electrical cord from the neighbor's house to make things, whatever we have to do so we can just stop moving all over the place. Mm-hmm. But do continue to pray for Word of Truth Baptist Church. We're super excited about the faithfulness of everybody and how stick to it Mateos and Sueni have been in a pretty difficult situation. So as you think of them, continue to pray for them as well. Any questions about this part of Brazil? This is that there. Yeah, it was a really fast version. There's a lot more to tell, but. Thank you.